TheFloor.com.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Few minutes past 3 p.m. Dave Murray joins us at 3:35. Tuesdays are typically the think tank. Today we have Steve Ellman, who is the current and trying to be the next county executive for St. Charles County. Steve Butts, who is a representative who is running for the Senate. Two great guys, really good guys. I'd like to have some of my clients on now and then, so long as it's like an interesting thing, especially when they're early on. And one of my new clients is Timberline Tree Care, and Ben Barnett is the owner, and we become buddies, and he's been out to the house, and he's done some work for me. And so welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
I'm having a great time. What a great day to be here. It's actually my wife and I's anniversary
nice.
Today.
Nice.
Congratulations.
So,
happy
yeah,
anniversary.
It's a great day for us. And just like any good husband, I've been thinking all day about what I'm going to buy her on the way home because I didn't even
you gotta
remember.
Do it the same day. Yeah.
Don't out yourself.
Oh, there's no chance she's listening. She's working hard today. Working hard. But happy anniversary to you. Thank you.
How many?
How many all years. In all, or just this marriage?
Just to aggregate them. What's your average?
That's funny.
Eight years married to my beautiful and talented and lovely wife.
Very
awesome.
Nice.
Thank
some
you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's an awesome day. Thanks for having me. All you guys, it's great and fun to be here.
Yeah. So you're a listener.
Yeah.
And you said that Rach sounds exactly like she does on the radio.
She does to me, yeah.
Not so much us.
Not so much you guys. It's weird, but once you kind of put the face to it and, okay, that's the voice I've recognize, but when you first say hello, it's like, wait, that's not quite the one that I'm used to. But
cognitive dissonance.
It's gaining on me.
There's a little like tone and pace difference when it's like in the hallway saying hello versus like, hi, we're on the radio.
Right,
yeah,
right.
True.
And I think that's the difference. Maybe it's like the professional, you know, I'm a professional radio personality versus, hey, what's up? You know?
Exactly. So tell us about Timberline.
Timberline, yeah. I started Timberline just right before I graduated from Mizzou, 2001. It was kind of a summer deal at first, and like many people that start little businesses, it became a side gig, and then it became more of a permanent thing. Then you're hiring people, and the next thing you know, I would say we're probably in the top 10 as far as size of St. Louis market tree services. And in the last 25 years, you know, in my opinion, we are far and above the best quality, the best customer service that you can get as far as a tree service in our area goes.
Isn't it weird how life goes?
It is weird.
Right? Like, it's been, you know, 25 years, and I always say to my kids, like, once you get to my age, you're not going to believe how quick that 25-year core.
I'm learning it. It's terrible. Every week goes by, it feels like a day and a half.
Yeah.
And then every month goes by, and I just can't deal with it anymore. I don't even know how I'm going to get by.
So, good day to talk about the tree service, because we've had storms. We have some more weather coming in. You know we're going to get more. What is kind of the typical, like, if a bad storm comes through, not as bad as the tornado from a year ago, but a typical thunderstorm out in St. Peter's takes down some limbs and trees. I know that there are storm chasers out there.
Oh, yeah.
Who just follow the storms and show up. My mom got taken really bad by one of them.
There are so many stories about that. And the best piece of advice as far as I can give you as far as a storm chaser, there's 150, probably 200 tree services locally that you can Google right now. And any one of them, well, some of them will come out. There's no reason for anybody to ever knock on your door and just say, hey, I'm happen to be in a neighborhood, but because you're not, you know, you're going to get taken advantage of. I've heard it so many times. Nice elderly people. Oh, this person came by and they said they were here. And then the next thing you know, they're not at gunpoint, but, you know, we're going to the bank because I'm getting cash and I'm getting it right now. And they didn't do exactly what you thought they were going to do. And they're just taking advantage of people. There's plenty of local good tree services around here where you just don't need to wait for somebody to knock on your door to get something done.
I didn't realize until our last conversation that while that there's no like official body that licenses and makes sure that like I could start Dave's tree service tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. Any one of us could go out, and that's how most of them get started. In the state of Missouri, there's no state licensing board. You have to be licensed to cut hair, but you don't have to be licensed
to take a big tree down.
Now, there are municipalities, Kirkwood, Clayton, you have to get a business license, a tree service license, but they don't really, they just take their $100. They don't really check anything. If you give them your $100, you're getting a
license.
You're in. Yeah. There's nothing. Other states, other countries certainly do have more stringent standards, but we don't have that in the great state of Missouri. You're kind of taking chances. You know, there's nothing that proves anyone's better than anybody else, or at least good. So you have to do your own diligence just to make sure that you're not going to get taken or screwed over. And once these trees get messed up by somebody that really doesn't know what they're doing, there's no getting them back.
Yeah, you've said that to me several times. Yep. You have to be really, really careful.
Right, right.
So how is the business different than most people think it is? An example is I grew up with, we need to get that tree topped.
Right.
And then a few years ago, another buddy of mine who does tree stuff said, we don't really do that anymore.
That's kind of an old practice, and I don't know why everybody started doing this, but you still see it all the time. Improper pruning practices, whether it's topping your tree, a lot of old timers, I've had it topped and then it finally died. Yeah, it's going to, because you're messing it up. You know, you're taking all of the food factories, the leaves on these trees are what creates the sugars that keep it going, you know, through the winter and into the next year. And you're just cutting all that off and you're creating wounds and decay and you're creating all kinds of problems for yourself. There's no reason ever to do it. There are ways to properly mitigate risk. If you're worried about a tree too big, it's going to fall. It could potentially fall. Everybody that I was that ever has me out to their place to look at a tree, it's too big. It's going to fall right out of my house. Well, it's been standing there for 80 years. What makes you think that today it's going to fall? You know, let's really think about this before you make a knee-jerk reaction. The neighbor's tree may have fallen last year, but it might have had some defects.
Yeah.
You know, there's things that we can look at. If it's a healthy tree, I don't want to cut it down. I'm not going to be judgy, but I'll try to talk you out of it first.
So as someone with lots of anxiety who does worry about trees falling down, when you show up at a house and you say to the owner, your fears were well-founded, what typically do you find in an older big tree that you think this thing could go?
We can, the outward signs that you can see, if there are fungal bodies, mushrooms growing around the base, you can that's an indicator of root rot or heart rot, or there could be some decay within the tree. You can look for cavities, different defects like included bark. If there are two main stems and they grow up at a real narrow angle, that's a defect where one could split off. Huh. You're probably familiar with the Bradford pear trees.
Yeah.
They break all the time. That's all they are, is included bark. It's a bunch of stems coming out of the same spot, and they all go up at a real steep angle. Wind blows, they fall over. That's kind of what they do. And you can take that same principle to many different trees that often have that common defect.
Boy, St. Louis seems to love their Bradford pears.
Oh, I think it's everywhere. I believe it was 1974, was a USDA selection. Bradford pears, they say, you know, these are the newest, greatest thing. They're a clone tree, a cultivar of a regular pear tree. So they found these and they cloned them. And they said, look at all these great trees. They flower and they're so pretty and they're all uniform and they all look good. And then 20 years later, they all started falling down.
Huh.
So they said, maybe if we made it a little bit different and chose a different cultivar, we could do that. And then there's 50 million of this other cultivar, say it's Cleveland Select or a different kind of pear tree. And then they started crossbreeding. Before that, they couldn't crossbreed because they're all clones. And then they start crossbreeding, and now we have pear trees growing up in every right-of-way, every side of every highway, every ditch, there's terror everywhere.
Yeah.
So the Missouri Department of Conservation is doing their best to eradicate them, which is probably never going to happen.
And you will do what you did for me. Come out to the house, look at every tree, every bush. Hey, this is healthy. This one could use a little work, XYZ, a little TLC. And then you have a program that may be unique, at least in our area, where you can basically say, and when you told me about this, I said, oh my God, I used to live in Webster. People would love that because they're obsessed with their 80-year-old trees.
Sure.
And you can say for X amount per year, we'll be like your tree butler.
Yeah,
like, we'll make sure this thing's taken care of.
Yeah, we found through the years that some people just want us to do everything possible for their tree. They don't want to have to worry about it. They don't want to have to call me five times a year to come out and do certain things. They just, hey, go ahead and do everything. So what we did was we put a whole package together that includes everything, you know, your soil testing, your annual inspection for a certified arborist, myself to come out and take a look, or one of our other seven certified arborists, fertilization if you need it, insect treatment, fungicide and bactericide treatments. And the best part about this whole thing is every 5 years, you were going to get the tree pruned anyway because it's growing, you know, towards your house or it's got some dead limbs in it. We take care of all of that, all under this package. So you'd never have to make a phone call to me again. I'm going to come out and I'm going to take care of everything your tree could need through the course of a year. And if your tree dies while it's under our care, we'll take it down for you for free.
So most people love their trees, but they don't like really look at them.
Right.
What are some of the telltale signs that maybe you need to call you or another tree service?
Well, if the sun's shining tomorrow, you should call me. If it's cloudy tomorrow, you should still call me. And if it's raining, you should call me. If it's storming, you should definitely call me, no matter what. But yeah, there's certain things to look at. A big mature tree, or I guess any tree for that matter, if you start to notice dead limbs in the tops, the tips of the canopy, the part that's exposed to light, and they start to die back, it just starts getting smaller, essentially. That's a sign that there could be some things going on, potentially some root issues and maybe some things we can take care of. Any browning or necrosis of leaves during a time when it shouldn't be happening, this time of year, possibly you have something going on. And there's a lot of times that we can take care of a lot of these things as long as we catch them early enough. A lot of people call me, the tree's completely defoliated. There's nothing left of it. And they say, oh, what can we do now? It's dead now.
Take it down.
Yeah, we can take it down. But if you would have called me maybe a year ago when you first started seeing this happen, we might have been able to do something about it.
Gotcha. So, boy, that went by really fast. If you want to talk to Ben, go to stltreecare.com. Name of the company is Timberline, stltreecare.com. Anything else you want to leave them with? Anything special going on now or anything special about this time that they need to be thinking
about?
Well,
it's springtime. Everybody's jumping on everything outdoors right now, as long as the weather allows it. We typically bring our best prices at all times. There's generally no specials or anything like that that we do. We just want to do a really good job for every client that we work for, and we're going to take care of you, and we're not going to stop until it's right the way you want it.
Cool. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much.
Went to the bathroom, stopped in my office, took a look at Drudge, and the big red headline is that as a part of this settlement that we talked about with attorney Brad Young, where there's $1.8-ish billion being created in this fund, taxpayer funded, it's your money, that's going to go to people who were aggrieved by the Biden administration. And the thing that they just learned is that a part of the deal is that Donald Trump, any Trump, with tax issues, that will be dropped, forever forgotten, and not pursued. So they have no tax liabilities whatsoever, even if they do.
Because they're a Trump?
Yes. The family.
What does that have to do with any of this?
Because the whole thing started because the Trumps were pissed because the IRS supposedly leaked
a
their
contractor
tax
did.
Returns.
Yeah, an IRS contractor is in jail right now for leaking their info and some other ones too.
So now they're scot-free.
So just forever, you don't have to worry about
it
ever?
Or is it up to this point?
It said forever free in the headline, but as I quickly read through the article, I didn't see anything that referenced future
right.
problems.
I figured it would be like up to the point where that decision was made. Because you can't legally, right, just give someone a future get out of jail free card.
It's sort of like an indulgence in the old Catholic Church.
Like, it's one thing to say these things that came before were not correctly done, so we're not going to revisit this. That's one thing. To be like, hey, you can do whatever you want from now on. Nobody's ever going to look. That's a little different, but I would hope that's not what it is.
Yeah. Guess who MAGA has turned on?
Uh-oh.
Kyle Rittenhouse.
Really?
Because he is campaigning with Massey,
who the president hates.
Oh.
And today is the election to see whether he's going to keep his seat in, I believe, Kentucky.
Yep.
Yeah.
Seems like he's going to lose.
It does.
Last I saw the report is he's down pretty big.
Yeah. What do you guys think about that? Because I'm of two minds. You know I can't stand Trump. When he does something, it usually pisses me off. But at the same, I think it's dirty pool. I don't want him to be a king. I hate the fact that he's so friggin' insecure and thin-skinned that he can't take anyone disagreeing with him. But he's not the first politician to go after his enemies.
No, I think this is like, to me, there's an equivalent. It's not. I mean, nothing's exactly the same, but similar to the way that Bernie Sanders just got shoved to the side by leadership in the party for whatever their reasons were. Obviously, I think they probably felt like he wasn't electable, or maybe it's because Hillary was next or whatever it was. But like, we see the national party get involved in these things, and I don't like that in the sense that the people in each state should be the ones that are deciding based on what they know about candidates, not because the national party of either the Republicans or the Democrats threw millions of dollars into it to influence it one way or the other.
Yeah. The most expensive House race of all time.
So again, I you're right. It happens all the time. It's not a specific Trump complaint, but I don't. This is what people don't like, right? This is what people don't like when Washington, D.C. gets in the way.
Sheepdog, standing in the rain. Bullfrog, welcome back. Doing it again. DGS on Game of Wax. Dave Murray joins us, brought to you by the Saliga Heating and Cooling Weather Center. What are you doing over there?
He's dancing on the table.
I'm checking the radar. Well, yeah.
You check the radar on
I'm
your own time.
The radar.
That's awesome. That's great. I was saying to the guys, I'm kind of confused. No shade to the local TV meteorologist, but I thought it was going to be like storms tonight, and it's not looking like a lot so far.
No, we're done.
Okay.
There's a little bit of light rain still hanging around, and that's kind of fading. I think another maybe 2 hours or so. But it'd be cloudy and gloomy. The threat of severe weather, the threat of thunderstorms, period, is over.
Okay.
Not going to see it.
Good.
Cold front getting closer and closer.
All right.
So go keep throwing that shade.
All those local TV guys just lying to me, so. which way do we go? Gosh, I started to say for the weekend, but it's only freaking Tuesday, so.
It is only Tuesday. It seems like it's a lot later than that.
It does.
I'm not quite sure why.
Yeah.
Must be because of what I went through yesterday.
And, right. Yeah, having a camera up your butt, that'll do it.
That's right.
So tomorrow is the big summer forecast.
Right.
Great.
There it is.
Looking forward to that.
Right there.
That is the scariest. That's the scariest one to me. Like, there's very little that you could say about winter where I'd be like, oh, no. But, like, when it's, oh, July is going to be blistering, I'm like, damn it.
Well,
oh boy.
Maybe not.
Okay. All
maybe
right.
Not.
All right.
How's Dave, that for a tease?
A teaser.
Dave Rach went on a walk with
summer
me.
Summer is canceled.
Rach went on a walk with me today, and I said, I agree with you. This is the nicest spring I can remember.
I think you guys, we mentioned this the other day. Absolutely. It's been wonderful. I mean, we've had some hot weather. We've had some kind of cold weather. But overall, it's been great.
Yeah.
And just enough rain.
Yeah, we've had so many 65-degree sunny days. Like, man.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Perfect. And that's the trend now. Whoop, go ahead, Rachel. I'm sorry.
I was just saying, I said beauty.
Well, beauty.
Completely pointless.
No, there's a point.
Isn't that funny, always Rachel? You say the dumbest thing you've said all day, and
yeah.
Then Dave Murray goes, oh, I'm sorry.
Well, because he's so nice, he's like, I wouldn't hurt to have her chance to speak. And I'm like, it wasn't that great.
So, northwest flow is coming back. It's not quite here yet, but it will be. So, a lot of clouds around tonight, this evening, up through, you know, a little bit of light rain will be around the next couple of hours. But again, it's not much. But we're going down to 55. Still kind of gloomy tomorrow. A lot of clouds, partly to mostly cloudy skies. Cool in the 60s, maybe 69 for the high. 52 Wednesday night. Thursday, partly sunny. Beautiful afternoon, 73. More showers and some thunderstorms around on Friday. But it's not strong. It's not severe. Just showers and some rumbles here and there. Stays cool Friday, 72. A little unsettled over the holiday weekend, but I don't see any all-day rains. Memorial Day right now looks cloudy with a few showers and 82 degrees. No big heat, no big cold, but we will be cool over the next couple of days.
That's nice because in my mind, Memorial Day is always a thing. It's either raining or it's 100. It seems to kind of go that way.
I've always said in St. Louis, our three-day weekends, usually you can write one of them off.
Yeah.
To say it's going to be terrible.
Yeah, right. Headlines, Rach?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about this 12-year-old Ukrainian boy who took down a killer drone from Russia all by himself. This is a crazy story. So he's 12 years old, and he was up in he watched a black quadcopter drone go past him and go towards the yard where his younger siblings were playing. So it was a fiber optic guided first person view model. And this is used to track and kill civilians like very far from the front. And they're tethered to operators by a cable that carries video and commands. So you can't jam them via radio, but there's a cable.
Wow. It's like connected.
Yes. So he had seen the fiber optic cable hanging across roads and trees like for months because these drones are so common. And one time he asked a Ukrainian soldier, like, how do they work? And the soldier showed him how this line, which is pretty much unbreakable, but there is a way to snap it by doing like these special loops and these pinches. And he told the 12-year-old boy, like, if you ever have to do this, you need to wait 15 seconds after the drone passes so the operator can't see you. Wow. I'm trying not to cry. This is like so crazy. So when this little boy, he spotted the cable trailing the drone, he was up in a tree when he saw it. He drops from the tree. He grabs the cable, looped it, and he counted to 10 instead of 15 because he didn't have time.
Oh, man.
And then he yanked it and the line broke and the drone veered off and crashed. It didn't detonate, but he took it down all by himself.
Pretty great.
He's being hailed as in Ukraine.
12 years old.
It's really cool.
I really like, you know, learning things about people and, you know, my friends and stuff. And you start to learn, like, what gets people. What gets Rachel every single time is little kids being heroic. That will always... Every couple of months, we have a story about, like, a heroic little kid who saves the day. And it always brings Rachel to tears. Every time.
Well, because it's just like... I don't know. We talk about like kids these days and they're always on their phones and blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, they're so resilient. And
not
like,
all of them.
This little boy's in this situation that none of us can imagine. No. And he saw his siblings in danger and like, yeah, like I didn't have 15 seconds. I had to wait 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, it just kills me.
Can I say the dumbest thing? How are we still doing this? Yeah. How are we still fighting like this? Just in general. We've been doing this for thousands of years. It's 2026, and we're still doing it. I mean, okay, I have a better question. What percentage of the population do you think is responsible for the fact that we're still doing this? Are we all war makers? Is it the 10% of leaders who are just selfish and billionaires and want more land? And would the rest of us be okay, or we just be doing it if they all died off?
I mean, I don't know how to, I really don't know the answer to that question. I do know, I think a lot more people would be anti-war if they saw the immediate effects of it.
Yeah.
But so much of us are super insulated, especially here in the U.S. We are just so insulated from anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. And it's not going to come here because we'll see it coming a mile away based on geography.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see. Have you seen that the president is working with Mark Cuban on this Trump RX thing? So Trump RX is basically a way where you can get prescriptions. You don't use insurance, but you can. It's kind of like a coupon system or a wholesale thing. He just teamed up with Mark Cuban to add 600 generic drugs to the Trump RX platform. I was reading a little bit about this. I mean, it's interesting. It remains to be seen how much this is actually going to help people because, again, it's like an anti-insurance thing. Mm-hmm. So you wonder how many people will do that instead of going through their insurance. But I would say it's probably a very good sign that they were able to add on these 600 generic drugs because prior to this, it was all like mainstream, I hate to say designer drug, but you guys know what I'm talking about. Like yeah, the
ivermectin, the, stuff like that.
Right. let's see here. World Gymnastics has lifted their restrictions on Russia and Belarus, reopening the door for their athletes to compete under their national flags. That is effective immediately.
I never like penalizing the athletes from a country because of what their government does.
Mm-hmm.
Just it to me, it's ridiculous. If there were other parts of the world that didn't like what we're doing in Iran, should our athletes be banned from the Olympics? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not going to happen in LA because we're the host country, but like it's the people that are competing, they're not involved in the decision. They're not involved in who's going where or going to war. And banning the athletes is not going to change the government's mind. So what's the point? It's all for show. Stop doing that.
So the world number one in women's tennis, Arina Sabalenka, she's from Belarus. Mm-hmm. And she has never come out and like formally condemned what Russia is doing in Ukraine, which, I mean, you could argue, why does she have to? That's it's not her doing it. There is a tennis player from Ukraine named Marta Kostyuk. She like openly hates all of the Russian players and talks trash on them in press conferences and says all the time, like, unless you're coming out and specifically condemning, like, you are my enemy. I do not shake your hand. I don't have anything to do with you because I see the people in my country and what they're going through. And it's so awful. I it's really interesting to watch those dynamics play out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know I don't know if it still plays the same way, but I know for a long time when Russian players first started coming over to the U.S. to play hockey, they wouldn't say a word because they were afraid for their families.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
So I don't know if that still plays into it or not, but it could be.
Yeah.
Speaking of tennis, 65 years after she started college, Billie Jean King has graduated. And no, this was not a fake doctorate like we talked about earlier in the show. She took online classes and she earned her college degree 65 years after she first took classes. She's 82 years old. Huh. We all know Billie Jean King. During the graduation ceremony, she hit autographed tennis balls into the crowd. I thought that was pretty cool. But good for her.
Yeah.
And she talked about Shaquille O'Neal just walked across the stage at LSU and got his master's. So it's just neat. Like, these are people who don't really have an incentive to keep going other than they just want to better themselves. And I think it's really neat.
That's cool.
One more story for you guys. Aqua splits up 3 decades after Barbie Girl. I did not realize they were still together. I think it's pretty impressive that they were still together all this time after releasing Barbie Girl. But yeah, Aqua.
Who are they out at playing Barbie Girl at carnivals and stuff?
I have no idea what you're talking about, Rachel. You know, explain,
I'm a Barbie
please.
Girl in a Barbie world.
Keep going.
Life is plastic. It's fantastic.
Now you know, Dave.
All right. My day is done.
You think you're still under the sedative for the colonoscopy? Shy of 4 p.m., we have St. Charles County Executive Steve Ellman and Rep. Soon, hopefully, to be Senator Steve Butts joining us. Andrew, what's got you riled up about Baby Gorku?
What's Baby Gorku doing?
Oh, he's on the phone. I think about Baby Gorku.
Oh, making a call to the studio.
Go to the guests. I'm sorry.
Kev, tell me about the $40 bucket of nachos.
Oh, did you guys see this? Have you seen this at all?
I've not seen it.
All right, so I'm gonna throw this at you guys, and I'll give you the details. I'm not going to just like blindly throw it at you. But the Arizona Diamondbacks are selling a bucket of nachos at their games. So this bucket, the challenge, it's not a challenge the team is promoting, but the internet challenge is, could you and a friend take down this whole bucket in a 9-inning game?
Yes.
So just keep in mind that the bucket costs $40. Okay, so it's a lot of nachos.
Yeah.
It's 128 ounces of nachos. That's 8 pounds. Wait, sorry, 9 pounds. It's 8 or 9 pounds.
You could have said anything, and I'd been like, okay.
So it's 8 pounds of nachos. You can choose your meat. So you can choose barbacoa, the beef. You can choose pulled pork, or you can choose chili. Mm. And you got it. Anyone here think one of us and any of you and a friend could take 8 pounds of nachos in a 3-hour baseball game?
Yes.
No. For me, it's not so much like volume. there are things I can just eat the hell out of.
Yeah.
And there are other things that a little bit goes a long way.
See.
I crave nachos, but after a dozen, I'm...
Well, that's, you have to get into a mindset.
A rhythm?
I'm doing this. Because
who would you pick amongst us to be your partner?
You guys, I mean...
Because Andrew's a lie. He's a lie.
I honestly might be one of... I might be able to do better than anyone else on the show as far as, like, competitive eating.
I mean...
I guess I would go Wheels.
I don't know, man. That's... Because here's the thing that's going to be hard. All that is going to be sitting there just coalescing at the bottom of the bucket.
You got to hit it fast.
Because it's going to take you a few... It's going to take you 2 hours at least, right? So you got soggy, cold-ass nachos that have been sitting around with sour cream and guacamole and all this other stuff in there. I think that sounds like
you
it's
say
just
guacamole
no fun.
Weird.
Yeah, I know.
Luke says, me and my friend, myself, could absolutely finish that.
I mean, 8 pounds, dude.
It doesn't look so scary.
Jenny Barnard says, I listen to DGS almost daily, but this is the first time I've watched. It's interesting to see everyone live. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Jenny.
How are you? Ooh, Paul Charsley says, bring a blender.
That might make it easier. It's going to be like a drink by the end.
Yeah. Andrew. $40 of nachos, 9 pounds of nachos with fixins. You and another person have to eat it in 9 innings. Can you do it?
You talking about earlier today? I didn't know you guys were watching.
Who on the show would you pick to eat the nachos with you?
That is a really good question. Probably you.
Good choice.
Yeah,
good choice.
Yeah, good I think you're right.
I think it would be you.
That's the choice.
I think the Dave,
Kevin, Kevin can't even do a whole big arch.
I know. Is it? You're right. That's a good point. Is it wrong or mean for me to say that the middle aged guys are going to struggle with this? Like the
it's
two of
only
us.
Mean to me.
Oh, well, like I
mean,
it's the most.
What's that?
Like because of heartburn?
Well, just everything. Heartburn, the long-term after effects of eating all those nachos.
I love Rachel so much. He's like, is it because of the physical atrophy?
Is it because you guys are old as dirt?
Is it the fact that your bones are porcelain?
Is it the crumbling to dust aspect?
I'm going to tell you right now, in my 20s, I don't think any doubt. Me and any teammate from college, we'd have killed that thing. Now, no chance.
Give me 10 more years and I'll fit in that bucket.